Good afternoon. This meeting of the Energy Communications Cybersecurity Subcommittee is called to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo.
Here.
Vice Chair LaMarca.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Joseph.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez, Antone, Campbell, Kennedy.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Cassell.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Gossett Seidman.
Here.
Griffiths. McFarland. Robinson.
Here.
Jaeger.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. All right, members, today we are going to hear four bills. The first one up is going to be HB 1645 by Representative Payne, Energy Resources. I understand that you have a strike all, so we can just go to that.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, House Bill 1645 is entitled an act relating to energy resources. Before I start, Chair, I just want to say, look, I've spent a lot of time working with stakeholders here. They're here today. Many are in the audience. And I want to thank them for their efforts. There's a lot to be done on this bill. I want to be able to answer your questions to the extent that you have questions. But also, I want to also let you know that I'm passionate about this energy bill. All of you know that. I've sat through some of the lunch and learns we've done. And so just don't sink the ship today is what I'm asking.
No sinking of the ship.
So, yes, sir, there is Amendment 1, or a strike all. It removes provisions that require public utilities to obtain approval from the Public Service Commission to retire certain electrical plants and requires the PSC to inform and provide technical support to the Attorney General. That has been removed. Required the PSC to develop certain smart grid policies to be submitted for consideration by the legislature. That has been removed. Under Section 5, required the Department of Transportation to offer potential access to vendors of certain alternative motor vehicle fuels and repowering stations along the turnpike. That's been removed. Sections 3 and 4 have been removed. That creates an electric vehicle battery deposit program within the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. And then in the strike all, we've added provides the recovery of certain facilities relocating costs incurred by natural gas utility through a certain separate from the utility-based rates. Extends due dates for certain reports in the bill, specifically for the PSC, for hydrogen and for nuclear, and extends those by 3 months each. And it also extends the risk assessment in Section 20. And that's the strike all.
Thank you, members. Do we have any questions on the strike all? All right. Do we have public testimony on the strike all? Representative Caruso, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, Chair. One question regarding, I guess, our nuclear reactors in the state. And this just came up because I just heard about the strike all. Does your bill or the strike all allows for that information to be shared with state agencies when, I believe, is that correct?
Chair. So what we're doing in the bill has nothing to do with the current nuclear facilities. We're looking at opportunities to invest or find ways to invest potentially through 3Ps, perhaps through small modular reactors, which can fit into mini grids and supply utility power. So it's to answer your question, it's not associated with large scale nuclear reactors.
Okay, thank you.
Members, do we have any other questions? No questions. Public testimony? Not on the amendment. All right. Members, we're in debate on the strike all. No? You recognize the close on the strike all.
Close on the strike all, Chair.
All right. Without objection, the strike all is adopted. And we are now on the bill as amended. So we do have, is there any questions on the bill's amendment? All right, so we're going to do public testimony. We do have Dale Calhoun. You wave in support. All right. David Cullen with the Sierra Club is an opponent and wishes to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair.
Dave Cullen for Sierra Club, Florida. We do have to oppose this bill, but I want to start by saying that the strike all is less alarming than the initial bill was. But that's about as far as I can go in good news from our perspective. Section 1 of the bill preempts control of comprehensive plans by providing that a resiliency facility, which is for natural gas and can include liquid natural gas, as a permitted use in commercial, industrial, and manufacturing categories in the comp plan and also in those districts in the jurisdiction. Localities are prohibited from amending their comprehensive plan, land use map, zoning districts, or land development regulations in a way that would make a natural gas resiliency facility a non-conforming use. Localities are allowed to require a buffer zone, but it may not exceed existing zones for similar operations. Given the tremendous amount of energy that is contained in liquid natural gas, our opinion is that if you're going to have those buffer zones, they should be measured in miles and not feet. Sections 2 and 7 through 11 strike or repeal references to and programs addressing climate, energy efficiency, fuel efficiency, greenhouse gas emissions from the state's energy policy and related statutes. Much of that language was placed in statute in 2008. Chair Stan Mayfield chose that to be his last project in serving in the Florida House. Sections 3 and 15 extend existing preemptions for communities from moving away from fossil fuels to both development districts and homeowners associations. There are cost recovery provisions for with respect to EV charging, saying that the restrictions in the bill on EV charging stations and possible new programs would not preclude cost recovery. And as the sponsor pointed out, the natural gas relocation costs would be says that they could have cost recovery for that as well. Those relocation costs are basically created when either DEP or a locality in which the natural gas industry wants to run a pipeline, if they have to move their infrastructure in order to accommodate the locality's requirements, then that cost gets passed on to the consumer through the cost recovery. Section 14 deals with natural gas pipelines, and it expands the exemption from the certification process from a pipeline that's 15 miles long to a pipeline that's 100 miles long. Now, our concern with that is twofold. First of all, the certification process requires numerous opportunities for both local and public input, both in informational meetings and in public hearings. The certification process allows affected persons and groups to intervene in the process, and the selection of the corridors is one of the things that happens in the certification process. The corridor that the industry may want to use may not be the one that is selected at the end of the certification process. There is also a determination of need by the PSC. So we're concerned that those things may go by the board when you're talking about running 100 miles of pipeline carrying a highly flammable fluid or gas. Rather, it's fluid in the physics sense, but we're talking about natural gas here. So we see that as being problematic. We note that in Section 17, talking about the small modular reactors, it does not address the waste products of even small reactors have radioactive waste. That should be addressed if you're going to look at it. That's something that cannot be ignored. And hydrogen in Section 18 for transportation, the physics is very difficult for using hydrogen for transportation fuel. Because of the negative Joule-Thompson coefficient, the temperature changes, the gas gets colder as pressure is released on it, which is kind of the reverse from most gases. It can cook the system that you're dealing with. And perhaps more importantly from our perspective, 99% of the hydrogen that is produced in the entire world and in the U.S. is from natural gas. It is both the feedstock, where they strip the four hydrogens off of the one carbon atom in the methane gas, and they use natural gas to drive that process. It is hugely energy intensive. So it's far from clean. All you get is hot air and warm water coming out of the tailpipe. But the emissions that are generated in creating that hydrogen are extensive. So with that, we have to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up, we have Bradley Marshall with Earth Justice. As an opponent, wishes to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bradley Marshall with Earth Justice. As Dave Cullen alluded to, our primary concern is with Section 1 of the bill and taking local control away from the siting and where LNG facilities and storage facilities can go, except in areas that are exclusively residential, including commercial areas abutting residential areas. And the reason we have a lot of concerns over the siting of the storage of LNG the siting of LNG storage facilities is that LNG has properties that make it can be uniquely dangerous. LNG is natural gas liquefied down at negative 260 degrees or colder, and is thus 1/600th the size of natural gas. If it is released, it will pretty much immediately boil off and turn into a gaseous format and expand to 600 times that volume and then keep expanding. And its flammability limit is around 5%. So it will expand another 20 times and still be flammable. So if one cubic foot of LNG is released, it will fill up a space of 12,000 cubic feet of air and still be flammable at that point. And because as it boils off, it's still going to be very, very cold. It's going to be denser than the surrounding air until it warms up. And so it's going to seek low points, which is a problem in an urban environment where you have stormwater collection systems. And so it will seek the lowest points and get into that environment and be contained in that environment and could be, if it reaches an ignition source, could be disastrous. And that's what happened in Cleveland in 1944 when they had a relatively small LNG storage facility next to a residential area that had a breach. It got out, it entered into the sewage system and killed 130 people and blew up several blocks around the facility. Just 662,000 gallons of LNG have the equivalent energy of the Hiroshima bomb. And a relatively small-scale storage facility is going to be measured in the millions of gallons of LNG. So it seems to us that if you have a facility that has the potential, and under the wrong circumstances, to catastrophically damage a city or town, that city or town should have some say in where that facility goes to make sure that it's being put in the right location, such that if there was gosh forbid, a terrorist attack or an accident, that would be in the right place, that it wouldn't take out the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you. Christopher Strandberg with Americans for Prosperity, Waves in Sport. We have Ollie Disarned with Environmental Defense Fund. I say it right? Okay. All right. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ali Dysard. I represent 260,000 members with the Environmental Defense Fund in the state of Florida. We commend and applaud Representative Payne for his leadership in exploring an energy agenda, and we look forward to collaborating with you and everyone here. Rather than advancing this bill as is, with all of its hidden uncertainties and unforeseen outcomes, we propose the establishment of an energy task force. This task force can address leadership, utility, and resident concerns, evaluate new technologies, meet our growing energy demands, and tap into homegrown renewable energy potential, of which there is a significant untapped opportunity at this time. A critical concern to be addressed by such an energy task force is our 75% dependence on imported, unstably priced natural gas. Just as no one would probably invest 75% of their savings or retirement into a single volatile stock, we shouldn't do the same with our energy's reliance, or with our state's energy reliance. Moreover, our lack of homegrown energy results in $5 billion, leaving the state annually. And in this past year, Florida's overdependence on natural gas, the volatile market, led us to experience a 10-year pricing high and caused costly rate hikes for all residents, some even seeing between 20 and 30% increase in their monthly bill over the summer. Establishing an energy task force that prioritizes local renewable energy opportunities and energy efficiency measures reduces costs for tax ratepayers and has the potential of bringing thousands of jobs back to our state. Florida's energy future hinges on making informed decisions, and we believe that creating a robust energy task force to review all angles and all of our state's energy needs will allow us to embrace a new energy landscape very well informed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Kim Ross, Rethink Energy Action Fund. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and members. I'm Kim Ross, representing the Rethink Energy Action Fund. We believe this bill will have the likely result of raising folks' energy bills by introducing new incentives and rate-making policies for unproven technologies and energy resources that are more expensive than current technologies. Hydrogen, for example, is more than a decade away from being competitive. We're also very concerned with any natural gas expansion whatsoever. Florida, as the last speaker said, is already 75% dependent on natural gas. We don't need to expand that dependence and to charge ratepayers via cost recovery who are already hurting from increased energy bills, which impact all areas of life. The best and quickest way for Florida to be closer to energy independence is to invest in renewable technologies that are already proven. While diversifying might eventually include some of the technologies considered in this bill, those technologies won't be ready for a decade or more. So now is the time, now is not the time at which we need to guess at which technologies are going to be appropriate. Rather, it's the time to go after the low-hanging fruit that is still here in the state in the form of solar and battery storage. Thank you.
Thank you. Meta Calder from the Florida League of Women Voters. You're recognized.
Hi. Okay. Who would have thought that a local confrontation between Belvedere Terminals, a fuel storage transportation company, seeking to expand its corporate interests by building fuel tanks in Ormond Beach, would result into a legislative proposal that would result in the near total reference to climate change being removed from Florida statutes. Claiming to serve the health, safety, welfare, and quality of life of residents of this state, the bill strips out incredibly modest attempts to reduce carbon emissions by promoting energy conservation, energy efficiency, and renewable energy, and instead substitute provisions that resoundingly promote the use and dependence on natural gas, otherwise known as methane, a potent greenhouse gas, as well as nuclear, and as some have said, unproven hydrogen energy sources. In that, gone are provisions that, for example, require state agencies to consider fuel efficiency in purchasing vehicles, require the state to consider the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions as part of its state energy policy, include plans for the development of renewable energy sources in the duties of the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. It is increasingly clear that the climate is changing, although it might not be acceptable in certain circles to publicly acknowledge that fact. I feel confident that many in this room are deeply worried, especially as residents of Florida, In fact, a recent Florida poll found that 90% of Floridians believe that climate change is happening. We are witnesses to the increased power of hurricanes, the result of warming oceans. The sea level rise caused by the melting of our ice caps, and which is encroaching on South Florida and other coastal areas. The lengthening duration and frequency of summer heat spells that drive us indoors if we are fortunate enough to have air conditioning. And the impact of these changes is incredibly expensive, as illustrated by Florida's ongoing home insurance crisis. We are not asking, and I don't believe have ever asked, that the legislature curtail the presence of the natural gas industry as a component of Florida's energy resources. We simply request that our state policies continue to make room for and encourage cost-effective alternatives and technological advances that seek to reduce the carbon and methane emissions that are warming our world. As our elected representatives, it is truly your duty to look out for the welfare of our residents, not the corporate interests of the natural gas industry. Thank you.
Thank you. And then we have Kenya Corey, the National Waste and Recycling Association, waves in support. That is it for public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Representative Chambliss, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And good afternoon, Representative Payne. I really appreciate your opening because this is a big bill and it does a lot. And I definitely appreciate your passion. I can, you know, without going into details, because I'm still going into the details, I would ask if we could get together and maybe go through that together, because I want to make sure around that I'm understanding everything here. And so I'll be up today. And I look forward to making sure that we can get into the nuts and bolts of it and I can get a better understanding. But again, thank you so much.
Representative Robinson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to appreciate the representative for all he's done in this bill. Hopefully we don't sink the ship today. I would note that the bill in the House is almost as large as the bill itself in pages. I don't know if I've seen that. So it's a complicated stuff. You're the right man to land this plane, and I'm up today. Thank you.
Vice Chair Lamarco, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Chair Payne, heard a lot of skies falling references to Hiroshima and 1944 Cleveland. I'm hoping that the industry, the energy industry, is much more advanced today and is much more safe. I know it is because I've spent a significant amount of time in parts of it, and I know that you this is a passion for you. I know there's, as you said in your opening remarks, there are some things that you're still working on, and I'd love to work with you on it. With that, I'm going to be up on the bill. I certainly want to make sure that when people are listening to this hearing and your presentation, things like hydrogen and these technologies that are basically said we're specific years off. I don't know how folks can say that. We actually have a hydrogen network in the state of California with Toyota cars being produced that use hydrogen. That said, I know there's a lot of things in this bill, and I'm going to support it and look forward to working with you.
Representative Gossett-Seidman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, also in reference to the explosion in Cleveland, I did a quick look, and apparently these tanks were above ground and had a faulty valve on a late add to a tank system. But I'm just wondering if you could explain if anything has happened to that level in the 80 years since and how the storage systems are set up today. Thank you.
And touch that when you're closing. Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
First of all, I want to thank you and make sure the ship is not sinking in any way. I appreciate it. You know why it's not sinking? Because you've taken this, what I would call monstrosity, huge bill, and you've made it palatable because you're working with all of our stakeholders in it. I know this, it'll land even maybe even different than it looks today, and I just wanted to applaud you for working with all those folks, especially in my backyard that had concerns, and I thank you so much for doing that. I'll be up on this bill, and I look forward to working with you in the future on it. Thank you, sir.
Representative Campbell, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Payne, thank you for presenting this bill. Unfortunately, I missed your presentation, but I will rewatch the tape just to see how well you did and get some of these context clues with the sinking of the ship. But in all due respect, though, I'm not typically I'm not excited where this bill is at currently in the state. There's a lot of questions into it that I know you went through and you amended it and did some strike calls to it, centered around section one and some other areas. But I definitely do look forward with talking with you more about your bill. I hope that you take into consideration some of the individuals that testified and are really bringing into some ideas into the bill that they suggested as they spoke. The Energy Task Force idea, I thought that was an amazing idea. Not sure if we already have an Energy Task Force, but if there's some way that we can incorporate that with some of these concerns about explosions, that would be great. But, you know, one of the things I am excited about is the fact that you have been working with all sides on this bill. And so I look forward to being up for it right now. And we'll continue to monitor it as it goes through the process.
Representative Duggan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just want to echo comments that have already been made along the lines of this is an enormous undertaking. There's lots of stakeholders. I know you're going to continue to keep working with them. We're not at the final product here yet, but you are the right person for the job, so thank you for taking it on. Thank
you. Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I had concerns about like classified information on nuclear power plants getting into public record and all that sort of thing. And you answered that very clearly and made that good point. So, I mean, I love the bill. You've clearly have dove in way up in the deep end and appreciate your hard work on this bill, and I'm in support of it.
Representative Ansel, you're recognized.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Great bill, great effort.
Any other questions? All right. Or more discussion? Well, first I want to say, you know, this has been a committee week, multiple hours have been spent on this. I know that things are not done, balancing everything out. Energy is a huge topic. And you, between yourself and Chair Rommel, I mean, and all the staff, really appreciate your hard work. Such an important issue, and thank you so much. And continue to see this bill get through. So thank you. And with that, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chairman. And you're right on target. Certainly, Chair Rommel and the staff have been great to work with, as well as my Senate partner, Senator Collins. We probably spent 20 hours on the phone this weekend. But I want to go back and address a few of the comments that were made in the public comments section. I think Mrs. Bessard and the lady behind her, you know, I understand your concerns about hydrogen energy, but now's the time for us in the state of Florida to start looking at how we can be viable in hydrogen production in the future, if that's an alternative opportunity for us to have fuel in the future that will help reduce some of the issues. But they also commented some comments about why we're at 70%, 6% natural gas in the state of Florida. And that's because coal-fired power plants have been forced to shut down. That's because the NIMBY mentality has kept us from developing nuclear power in this area and all throughout the country. If I were to quote some facts for you regarding how much money has been spent on green energy initiatives over the years, since from 2000 to 2009, $70 billion have been spent chasing a new green energy mentality, and it's moved the needle 3%. Now, what that means is to people who can't afford to have energy, and we'll talk about energy bills and rates in just a second, that's a regressive tax on people who have to pay their energy bill or put food on their table. So that's an issue that I want everybody to understand. Additionally, regarding the pipelines, Mr. Cohen represented a couple things about pipelines from his concern. There are standards for protection and construction energy and construction zones. There's liability and safety components to that. There's standards of construction under 49 CFR Part 191-92 that apply to those. I think Representative Brackett ran a bill yesterday, House Bill 81, that increases civil penalties for gas laws. U.S. Department of Transportation, EPA, DEP, and the Pipeline Hazmat Safety Association is all involved when we put gas lines in the ground. So there are a lot of precautions there. One quick comment from Mr. Marshall is that natural gas is lighter than air. It doesn't hang on the ground. It doesn't go into valleys He may be thinking of methane gas or maybe some gas used in World War I. I'm not sure. Additionally, the Belvedere plant. We talked about the Belvedere facility, and I was unaware of that until I heard about that yesterday. That facility is a petrochemical or petro storage facility. It has nothing to do with LNG or natural gas, so it's not in the bill. Additionally, one other piece is I think Mr. Marshall referred to at some point in time, or someone referred to bills that utility customers' bills have gone up over last year. Well, just think what happened last year. Natural gas prices doubled. We had an invasion in Ukraine, hyperinflation. All those things drive prices up. So there is a difference in rate, and there is a difference in bills. As far as rate, we are much lower than the national standard in Florida, and will continue to be that because of our hopefully diverse portfolio, but natural gas prices are the volatile part of the market that constantly make our prices swing. One last thing. I want to talk about the air quality in Florida. We've heard so much about carbon emissions. Air quality in Florida ranks number 7 in the nation. Its air quality days are close to 90% every day, which means they meet a certain standard. Florida's ranked number 1 in health air quality standards, number 1 in the nation for health quality standards. A lot of that's because we have sweeping winds from the east and west that move it off of Florida, but that's something to be proud of. Natural gas emissions are much less than coal, and so we've had a pushback on coal for years. But the reason that regressive tax I talked about is when you take coal power plants off, which we've done that, some of that's a business decision by companies, when you take those off and you can do clean coal technology to reduce those emissions, that hurts our fuel flexibility. As well as I think another piece of that is that natural gas in itself is at 76% in the state, but we need to have fuel flexibility in the state so that we aren't dependent on 3 major gas lines coming in the state. There's 5 that come in the state, but 3 major gas lines. The resiliency part of this for me is that if we had a terrorist attack, domestic or foreign, or had a severe storm that created an interruption, we're losing billions of dollars every day. So I want to continue working on the bill. I think there's a lot to be done. Senator Collins and I will still continue to work together, as well as the staff. And members, I would just ask for and encourage your positive vote today so we can continue to work on this bill. So thank you for your comments.
Thank you, and thank you for your hard work. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair DeLombardo?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Joseph? Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cassell? Chambliss?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Jaeger?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
All right. Next up, we have House Bill 927 by Representative Chipolsey, Improvements to Real Property, a.k.a. PACE. And you have a strike all, so if you can just go with the strike all.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair LaMarca, Ranking Member. I appreciate your time today. I just have to tell you, if you hate the PACE program, then you're going to love this bill, because any movement forward is movement in the right direction. I'd also like to say I've had a lot of phone calls today regarding our lining up on the Senate side, and I will tell you that we did not line up on the Senate side for one specific provision in the bill, which is pertaining to interlocal agreements for the PACE financing program. And we didn't do that because there has been a bond hearing in Leon County in the past year plus so, and it is under litigation, and out of respect for the courts, we are not taking a position on that in this particular committee, but we are working it. So this bill recognizes the benefit of providing financing options to make it more affordable for a homeowner and commercial property owner to make qualifying improvements to their property and allows local governments to create a financing program to be able to make energy efficient improvements. It allows local governments to levy non-ad valorem assessments and to partner with other local governments to provide financing for qualifying improvements. The bill defines key terms. We did not change the name of program administrator, which is what I was speaking to you earlier about, as it is written in current law. A program administrator, as defined here, has not changed, means a county, municipality, a dependent special district, or separate legal entity. It sets out criteria for residential property owners to qualify for financing agreements, ensuring compliance with financial obligations and property conditions. These are lengthy, but I actually want to go through them. They're so important. The total non-ad valorem assessment amount is not more than 20% of the just value of the property. The total mortgage-related debt and assessment amount does not exceed 97% of the just value of the property as determined by the property appraiser. The property taxes and mortgage debt are current. There are no outstanding fines, liens, or notices or default in the past 3 years. There are no fines or fees relating to zoning or code enforcement violations. The property owner has not been subject to a bankruptcy proceeding within the last 5 years or dismissed more than 2 years before the date of which the property owner applied for financing. The residential property cannot be subject to an existing home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. The term of the financing agreement cannot exceed the weighted average of its useful life and never to exceed 20 years. If improvement is for conversion of on-site sewage to central sewage, the property owner has utilized all available local government funding and remains unable to obtain financing. If the qualifying improvement is estimated to cost more than $10,000, the property owner has to obtain estimates from two unaffiliated improvement contractors. It adds provisions for program administration to prove that there is an ability to repay. Income may only be related to the property owner. Provisions are made for notifications of change orders, and it creates a lower threshold for the amount that can be financed. If a property owner sells the property, they may be required to pay off the full amount owed. Prior to financing, a recorded telephone call discussing the terms of the agreement and confirming each finding is required. Prior to final disbursement of funds, program administrators must confirm that all work has been completed. For commercial properties, requires that previous requirements are met before financing with major changes, including the max annual non-ad valorem fee, not more than 1% of the annual non-ad valorem assessment or $5,000. We also removed penalties for repayment for commercial properties. Requires that applicable work or service be done by a licensed registered contractor. And the bill allows for local governments to contract a third-party administrator. Finally, the bill requires the program administrator to post annual reports on its website with information about the authorized program, including the number and types of improvements funded, average, aggregate, and median dollar amounts of assessments collected, and summary of complaints received. And I ask also that you not sink the ship today.
No. Don't sink the second ship.
Don't sink the second ship.
All right, that was a strike all.
Yes.
All right, so members, do we have any questions on the strike all? No questions on strike all. We do have public testimony. All right, Timothy Qualls from the Florida Tax Collectors Association wishes to appear as an opponent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and distinguished members of the committee. I first want to thank the good representative for meeting with us several times and working with us. Just very briefly, tax collectors have never said anything about PACE since it's been around, since roughly 2007. What's happened is you had one PACE entity that did not work with counties and cities and went out and loaned a bunch of money. And they're asking my client to put that on the tax notice, which will ultimately lead to homes being sold. And so that interlocal piece is so important to have in there. It's not a change in law. That's current law, and we just want to keep current law the way that it is. PACE entities should be required to work closely with counties and cities for the benefit of homeowners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have Jeff Scala from the Florida Association of Counties as an opponent, wishes to speak.
Thank you, Chair. Jeff Scala, Florida Association of Counties. And I do want to first thank the sponsor, Representative Tribolsi, for the numerous meetings we've had working with us, and commend her for not only representing her county, but the interest of all 67 counties in Florida. And we stand only opposed to the definition of what a local government is, as the previous speaker noted. There is a rogue entity operating beyond the scope of Chapter 163.08 that expressly provides that a PACE statute is meant to be additional and supplemental to county and municipal home rule authority and not in derogation of such authority or limitation upon such authority. We look forward to continue working with the sponsor on this to make sure that a city or county ordinance must be passed so that that entity who wants to, program administrator who wants to operate that PACE program does so within the boundaries of that city or county that's subject to the local agreement.
Thank you. Thank you. We have Mark Scheffel from Y-Green Energy Fund as an opponent, wishes to appear. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Mark Scheffel with Y-Green Energy Fund. We are one of the residential providers in the industry. And I just wanted to rise for a moment and thank Representative Tribolsi for your efforts in taking on this bill and for the committee for its work. PACE is a very important financing tool. It's critical, it's very powerful, provides a very important function. It does require stringent strongholds, and this bill is important. There's two main things that are important in here. One is what has been spoken about. So what we believed was original law at the enabling legislation back in 2010, that local ordinance or resolution is required before a PACE provider can operate in a local community. What you're doing here and what's in process, very much in process, is cementing that. And we absolutely applaud that. We appreciate the collaboration with the Florida Association of Counties and the tax collectors, and we stand with them in wanting to clarify this. And again, just appreciate your efforts in taking this on. Second factor, main component of the bill is consumer protection. And as I said, that is absolutely critical. PACE is powerful, but requires strong guide rails and consumer protections. Language in this bill is very complex, and we're very much in process. Again, there's been full access to the sponsor, and I so appreciate that. Numerous stakeholder meetings and that are continuing, and so we look forward to continuing work on that and the work of this committee and the work of the sponsor and working with you in collaboration to get this right. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We have Casey Denny from the Palm Beach County Legislative Affairs, wave in opposition. And then Rebecca O'Hare from the League of Cities, waves in opposition. All right, now we are on, members, do we have any debate?
I just want to thank the representative on this amendment. I know we spoke briefly about it. My tax collector reached out to me about the very same issue that was testified. You'll work on this issue. You're a great bill sponsor. You've had a busy day, so good luck with this.
Representative Griffiths, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for the conversation about this. And I do appreciate you addressing the interlocal agreement. I think that's a concern of most counties. This PACE program, obviously, there are some bad actors, but there's obviously a lot of good actors out there in this community that try to do the right thing. I appreciate you working with everybody, with all the stakeholders, and won't be sinking the ship today, but we look forward to hearing it in the future. Thank you.
Representative Kennedy, you're recognized.
Thank you. I just want to echo the comments of my colleagues and also just a compliment to you, Representative. When I hear from my folks back home who have concerns, they also tell me how fantastic you've been to work with. So thank you for your willingness to always listen. I think we all have some of the same concerns. Thank you for continuing to work on this as we move forward. Thank you.
Representative Yeager, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Tribolsi, I just wanted to say thank you for running this bill. Thank you for tackling this. This is one of the calls I get in my office, back in my district office, a lot is about PACE. People don't understand it. They just have issues with it. And it's a regular issue I have in my office. And I just want to thank you so much for running it and taking it upon yourself to do it. Thank you.
Do we have any other debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for hearing this bill today. I know I hounded you, so thanks for your time multiple times. And to your staff for all the help over the weekend and into late nights working on this. It's really, this bill is so important to me. And it's important on a personal level because I have somebody that is really close to me. And there's a niche area that PACE loan I really think is beneficial. But this individual has a home that was damaged by the hurricanes a couple of years ago. And for 2 years, they've had a blue roof. They've had blue tarp on their roof. And they have not been able to afford a new roof. And they actually went into foreclosure and were able to come out of foreclosure. But in the meantime, the insurance company has mandated that they get a new roof in order to re-up their insurance. And you know how hard it is, and we've been working on it for several years, as long as I've been here, on access to homeowners insurance. So they are kind of in this cycle of, hey, I might have to sell my house because I can't get insurance because I can't afford a new roof. And so that's where this PACE lending can really come in into that niche area, because they're not going to be able to qualify for a traditional loan. With that being said, there has been a lot of predatory lending where we've caught this niche of folks that are poorer, and we can continue to make poor people poor. And that's what this bill aims to address, is providing a lot of consumer protections around the financing that we're offering to homeowners. So I appreciate your support, and if you have any ideas, if you want to come to my office and join in on the party, I'm happy to invite you, and I thank you, and I close.
All right. Thank you. On the amendment, are there any objections on the amendment? Seeing without objection, show the amendment adopted. Now we're back on the bill as amended. We do have public testimony. Some of them are repeats, so Timothy Qualls, you want to come back up? And we appreciate that. Kenneth Pratt with the Florida Bankers Association. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thanks, first of all, to Rep. Trabosley for meeting with us to discuss our concerns on the matter. Our concern is really not necessarily what's in the bill, but also what's not in the bill. What is not in the bill is an opportunity for to reverse what has been done previously, and that is in regards to jumping the original loan. What normally happens is the first recording is the first in right, or the first to take it in a foreclosure. That has not happened with PACE loans, unfortunately. They jumped the original mortgage, and we talked a little bit about, I heard the representative talk a little bit about having to pay at the closing table. That is not always usually an ideal situation, but we would love to see this bill go a little bit further to include that aspect of reversing the jumping of the original mortgage.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, sir. Leah Wiggs, Renew Financial is an opponent. Andy Palmer waves in support. That's it. I think that's it. All right. All right.
Leah Wiggs, thank you so much.
Nope. No worries.
Thank you, Chair and committee, and thank you so much, Representative, for taking up this complex issue. We applaud your commitment to the industry and, most of all, strengthening consumer protections and the ability to repay standards for Floridians, which we are very much in support of. We are also in favor of mandating local approval for all PACE programs. This is the requirement of interlocal agreements. However, we have significant concerns with the bill in its current form. We look forward to working with you to improve this bill. And the goal, I think, for both of us is to ultimately best serve Floridians who are in need of equitable financing to strengthen their homes against hurricanes and natural disasters. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, members, we're going to go back on debate. We kind of already debated once, so thank you. But I will just take a couple of minutes because I know that, Representative Trabolsi, you have been relentless. No, you've been working really hard on this bill. And I mean, you're in staff's office constantly going over. I walk in, there's papers everywhere. And we really appreciate all your hard work on this. And I know that you've taken all the stakeholders and had conversations with everybody and did all your due diligence. So we really appreciate that. And that, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I think I already did, so I'll close again.
Thank you. All right, thank you. And Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Joseph? Yes. Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cassell? Chambliss? Clemens?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Jaeger?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. All right. Number three, we have CS for HB 275, Representative Kennedy, offenses involving critical infrastructure. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Joe Lombardo, Vice Chair LaMarca, Ranking Member Joseph, and members, Florida's economy is white hot, ranking 15th in the world, and we are on our way to becoming a top 10 global economy by 2030. To ensure that the critical infrastructure that supports our people and our growing economy is protected, HB 275 protects against the knowing and intentional disruption, damage, or destruction of physical or cyber assets that impact power, water, fuel, communications, transportation, and military and civilian facilities conducting research and development on military weapons systems. These are the most sensitive and important assets to protect, and that's exactly what this bill does, and that, Mr. Chair, is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have an amendment. You are recognized to explain amendment barcode 424909.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment removes the term linear assets from the trespassing section in order to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you. We have any questions on the amendment? Nope. Public testimony on the amendment? Nope. Debate on the amendment? Nope. And you're recognized to waive close on the amendment or close on the amendment? Sorry. Okay. All right. Without objection, your amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. We do have public testimony. We have Adam Bassford, Associated Industries of Florida, is a proponent of the bill, wishes to appear. Oh, thank you. All right, Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Kenya Corey, the Chairman's Company, TTLLC. I don't know if I got it right, but you can wave. You're waving in support, or are you coming?
No, I'm waving in support.
The Comoros. See? Listen, complicated words. Kevin Cleary, Crown Castle, waves in support. Carrie DeLandon, Karen DeLandon, AT&T, wave in support. Stephen Shriver, Port of Tampa Bay, waves in support. Laura Munoz, the Florida Student Power, waves in opposition. Senate Bill Valoria, six action, waves in opposition. Renee Goody, JEA, waves in support. Kevin Noonan with the Orlando Utilities Commission, waves in support. Dale Calhoun, Florida Natural Gas Association, is a proponent and wishes to appear. Dale Calhoun, wave in support. And that is it. All right, members, we're at debate. Anybody have a debate on the bill? And no debate. You're recognized to close.
We've closed, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. And Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Joseph? Representatives Alvarez.
Yes.
Anton.
Yes.
Campbell.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Cassell. Chambliss.
Yes.
Clemens.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Gossett Seidman.
Yes.
Griffiths.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Congratulations. And the bill will be reported favorably. All right. We have next up, we have last but not least, PCS or HB 683, Yeager Energy Infrastructure Investment.
Thank you, Chair Lombardo, Vice Chair LaMarca, and Ranking Member Joseph. This is virtually the same bill. Everything in this bill was in the same bill. It was in the bill last session that came to this committee that was unanimous voted favorable for. So you vote on this bill already, every part in this bill at least. The state of Florida ranks 13th in potential for renewable natural gas production. PCS for HB 683 will allow the Public Service Commission to create a mechanism to facilitate investment into RNG infrastructure in the state of Florida. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
All right, members, do we have any questions on the bill? And we do have an amendment, and you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment changes the date from October 2024 to January 1st, 2025. This came from feedback by the Public Service Commission.
All right. Thank you. Any questions on this amendment? Nope. Public testimony on the amendment? All right. Shantae Jones, AARP, waves in support. All right. We have any debate on the amendment? Nope. And you're recognized to close on the amendment?
Wait.
Close. And without objection, the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amendment. We do have public testimony. All right, Shantae Jones, AARP of Florida, waves in support. Yesabel Valoria, Six Action, waves in opposition. Laura Munoz is an opponent, wishes to appear.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Laura Munoz, and I'm here on behalf of the membership of Florida Student Power. And I can tell you on behalf of students from all across the state of Florida that every day they're waking up and they're thinking about the future that they're going to be left with. And I understand the intention really might be to move towards renewables, right? And I really want to acknowledge that intention, but it is important to really think about some of the impacts, especially the health impacts of RNG. So RNG is derived from landfills, manure, and other biological sources, and it is an expensive alternative that perpetuates the development of new fracked gas infrastructure. The components of biogas contain trace amounts of compounds that can be quite toxic to human health. And this is important, including carcinogens like benzene. Some facilities that produce biogas, like concentrated animal feeding operations, pose a huge health risk to nearby communities due to how they manage and store this waste. Biogas is expensive to produce compared to fossil gas, costing up to 5 times as much. And of course, transporting and storing biogas is also and can be very dangerous. It is highly flammable and can pose high risk for accidents. So please, I ask you to consider this, to think about the pollutants like nitrous oxides and carbon dioxides that are still going to be exposed and put out, contributing to continued air pollution. And we don't want to lower the standard. We want to make sure that our young people are left with breathable air, with a bright future they can look up to. So I ask you to please continue exploring other renewable and truly renewable and truly green solutions for our young people. Thank you.
Thank you. Jackson Oberling, Florida Rising, waves in opposition. Bradley Marshall with Earth Justice is an opponent, wishes to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bradley Marshall with Earth Justice. I want to first off by saying that this PCS, as compared to the original bill, you know, in my estimation, I think it's 90-95% better. So huge improvement. So my opposition is much lower on the scale than it otherwise would have been. My best guess on the original bill is that we were looking at potentially billions of dollars in ratepayer impacts. This is much smaller, and so I'm thinking millions. But that's still of concern for us, and still why I have to rise to oppose it. Because right now, Florida, I mean, we already talked about rates and bills earlier today. Florida is on the lower end of states below the national average for rates. But when you take into account energy usage and look at bills, which is what people pay, and so that's often most important to people, is the check that they're writing to their utility. So far, based on data released for 2023, which includes preliminary data for January through November, Florida is third in the nation for highest electricity bills. Only Hawaii and Connecticut have had higher average electricity bills than Florida. So anything that's going to add to that is of great concern to us. And it's not because we don't have the highest electricity bills, some of the highest electricity bills in the nation, because we've been leading the way with investments in green energy. And it's not because we're the only state that's using natural gas. That's common. It's often because the utilities in the state, we keep authorizing additional rate basing of more and more infrastructure. So we have a lot of power plants in the state. I would argue a lot more than is necessary when you look at the actual calculations for example, loss of load probability. So when you look at the reliability criteria, we have a super reliable grid. We have a lot of power plants. It would take a lot to go offline before you would start to have issues. We already incentivize RNG production in the state by allowing the gas utilities to pay above market rates for RNG. So because of that and those concerns, we still oppose the bill, though, like I said, it's, maybe even arguably 99% better than the original filed language. Thank you.
Chair LaMarca has a quick question for you.
You're right. Good afternoon, sir. I appreciate that you're 99% of the way there, but I do want to ask a question. You cited that Florida has the third highest rates, not consumption, but rates. And by my research, we're number 15 at $13.55 per kilowatt hour, whereas Hawaii is at 38, and there are 14 other states in front of us. Can you just clarify, are you talking about consumption or rate?
You're right, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Neither. We're talking about bills, which is a combination of consumption and rates together. So for rates, I believe we're actually on the cheaper end. But when you add into account our consumption together, that generates your bill, your average bill. And so for January through November, based on the preliminary data released so far, we're third in the nation for highest electricity bills. So that's the thing that the people are, the check consumers are writing to the utility at the end of the month.
All right. Well, Representative Alvarez, you're right.
Now I'm confused. So we're the cheapest, but we choose to spend it, so we're bad. But then we're reliable, so we should bring plants offline? Is that your argument?
My argument is that the rates could be lower than they are in Florida. With our high energy usage, our rate base has been ballooning quite fast. For example, I helped litigate the FPL rate case. FPL was projecting a loss of load probability based on their generating fleet. That's how often you expect the lights to go off. The industry standard is once every 10 years. If you're looking at rolling blackouts from lack of generating resources to be more frequent than that, that's a good indication you want to add more power plants. FPL was at over 1 in 111,000 years in 2023. And that just keeps getting further as they're bringing more generating resources online. And so that's contributing to, even though we don't have the highest rates, given our energy consumption, the rates are quite high, which leads to high bills, if that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
I don't know, maybe my law degree isn't as good as yours, but it doesn't at all. So I'm not being flippant. So what I hear you saying is that we have a lot of energy production, but we also have the lowest rates, and we're watching Florida grow. Isn't that good planning for the future that we're planning that way?
You recognize.
Well, we don't have the lowest rates. We were on the lower side of it compared to the nation. And even based on those projections, the utilities, we have a 10-year site planning process. They project into the future. They take into account all the people moving to the state. Even taking into account, we have these very, very low loss of load probabilities. And so, yes, I would argue that we are overbuilding the number of and capacity of power plants in the state than we need.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have Adam Bassford, his proponent. You want to come and speak? No? All right. And then we have Dale Calhoun, Florida's Natural Gas Association, waves in support. Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Kevin Doyle, Consumer Energy Alliance, Florida, waves in support. Kenya Corey, Natural Waste and Recycling Association, waves in support. And Victoria Price, waves in support. All right. We are done with public testimony. Members, we are on debate. Do we have any debate? Vice Chair LaMarca.
Thank you. I'm going to support the bill, and I just, you know, when folks take the time to come here, I appreciate them doing that, and there are a lot of people who are passionate about issues they're passionate about, but just like Representative Alvarez, I just want to always kind of clarify when we point a finger at, you know, utilities or whomever it might be, and we say that bills are high, but that's based on consumption, not the actual cost of utilization, the cost per kilowatt hour. I just want to make sure everybody understands that, you know, obviously we've got hot summer months, and we've got times when people run air conditioning systems here a lot more than they might somewhere else, but all we can ask the utilities to do is keep the cost per kilowatt hour down, and then I think usage is really up to us. It's just like driving a car. If you have a more efficient car, but you don't drive it, and you have a less efficient car, you drive it, a less efficient car, but you don't drive much. I mean, it's really up to what your consumption is. So I'm going to support the bill. I just want to make sure that we're clear that Florida is number 15 at only 13.5 cents a kilowatt hour, and I think that's important for folks to know.
All right. Do you have any other debate? No? All right. Representative Yeager, you are free to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think sitting here today, we've heard a lot about fuel flexibility, energy diversification, and that's exactly what this bill does, is this allows for diversified energy solutions across our state. And let's not forget, this is energy made by Floridians for Floridians, made right here in our home state, and that's going to help us to diversify and I think actually long-term lower our cost for energy, which we need to do in this state. So with that, I'll close.
Thank you. Amy, please call the roll.
Chair Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Vice Chair LaMarca?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Joseph? Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cassell? Chambliss?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. All right, members, that concludes our agenda for today. So this probably is going to be our last meeting. I say that with like an asterisk because we don't quite, you know, things pop up last minute. We don't know. But first, I want to thank, you know, Vice Chair LaMarca, Ranking Member, all of you guys for your participation. We always have a good time. All the bills that we have coming through, the municipal utilities, all the good stuff that we're working on, all the energy package and everything. Cochran, Keating, Lydia, Amy, and Jacob. None of this could happen without any of them. And that's the reality. The hours that they put in till midnight working on stuff, you know, making sure everything's cleaned up, and all the bills are in the right posture and taking what we want and putting it to paper and ensuring that they're meeting our intent. Really appreciate all your efforts. Thank you so much. And I'll let you want to say anything?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Chairman, for running a great meeting. I've been able to be the bridesmaid of this committee twice and with under two different chairs. And although you don't highlight the exact cities that members come from like Chair Drake did a great job running these meetings, and I know that having been in this position for a few years, that this doesn't happen without Cochran and the whole team, and having been in that suite for a little bit myself, they work tremendously hard, so really just want to give them a lot of credit for what they do, and even when you or I have to be in and out of this meeting and flip the gavel, they make sure that we are almost infallible. We find a way to always make it interesting for them, but we're almost infallible, so thank you for your service.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And without further business, Representative Caruso moves that we rise.